بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome back to Radio Islam International. If you just tuned in, you are listening to the Tihya on air program with myself, Tihya Wadiwala. Today's Sunday, the 3rd of March 2019, alhamdulillah, and Ramadan is soon as well. For majority of us, I think exams are ending by the end of this week, inshallah. And which brings us to focusing a lot on community service, etc., during the holidays. And for the next month or two, I've decided that I will be having a segment on my show aimed at different careers, etc., which are conventional or unconventional. If you'd like to be interviewed or like to suggest someone I interview, please don't be afraid to drop me an email or tweet me. My Twitter handle is at tahiyaw, that's T-A-H-I-Y-A-W, and I will inshallah try to get in touch with the person. Today, as my first guest, I've been so fortunate to have the wonderful Mahdia Hussein, and she's a first-year med student at the University of Rajasthan. Her interview will be aired in the middle of the program, inshallah. Coming up now in the first segment of the program, I will be discussing from the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Muhammad Al-Arafi, and this is from topic number 39, and it's titled Verify the Fault Before Criticizing. It was clear by the tone of his voice when he rang me that he was angry, but he was trying his best to conceal his anger. This was not the tone I was used to hear from Fahad. I noticed that he was holding something against me. He began to talk about the many trials people have to face nowadays. Then his tone became harsher and he began to repeat, "You are a preacher, a student of knowledge, and your accusations will be accounted for." I said to him, "Dear Abu Abdullah, would you like to speak about the issue up front?" He said, "Well, you gave a lecture at such and such a place, where he said such and such and such." I became amazed and asked, "When was this?" "About 3 weeks ago," he said. I said, "I have not been to that area for about a year." He said, "No, you have, and you spoke about this." It then became clear to me that my friend had a rumor and he believed it. And on that basis, he formulated his advice, his stance and his words. No doubt, I still love him, but my respect for him has decreased because I discovered that he is too hasty. How many are those who draw a conclusion or form views based on a rumor they may hear? Many of them come to advise you only to discover that they were following hearsay. Many of them allow these rumors to become imprinted in their hearts, and on that basis, they paint a picture of you which happens to be false. Sometimes it becomes widespread that so-and-so did such and such. In order to preserve the respect he has for you, verify the news before speaking to him. And this was the methodology of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him, only to notice that he was in a shabby state. His hair was covered in dust. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to advise him to improve his appearance, but he feared that the person might be a pauper who had no money. So he asked him, "Do you have any wealth?" The man said, "Yes, yes I do." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked, "What sort of wealth?" And the man said, "All sorts of wealth, camels, slaves, horses, cattle, etc." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, "If Allah has given you wealth, then let it be shown on your person." Then he said, "Does your camel give birth to young ones with sound ears, but you get hold of a blade and cut off the ears and call it Behira? And do you cut a bit of it or cut its skin and call it Sam, thereby making it forbidden for yourselves and your family?" The man said, "Yes." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then replied, "Verily, what Allah has given you is halal. Allah's blade is the sharpest." In the year of delegation, some envoys came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having accepted Islam, to give the pledge of allegiance to him, whilst others came to him as disbelievers in order to accept Islam or make pacts. One day, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat amongst his companions, there came a delegation from Al-Sadif. There were about 10 of them. They headed for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's gathering and sat down without giving salutations. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, "Are you Muslims?" They said, "Yes." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, why did you not give salutations or greet? They stood up and said, peace from Allah be upon you, O Prophet, and his mercy and blessings. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then replied, peace be to you too, please be seated. They then sat down and asked him about the prayer times. During Umar radiallahu anhu's era, Islamic lands had expanded, so he appointed Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas as an emir over Kufa. The people of Kufa at that time were wreaking havoc against their leaders. A group of them sent a letter to Umar radiallahu anhu complaining about Sa'ad. In the letter, they mentioned many faults, even claiming that he did not pray well. When Umar radiallahu anhu read the letter, he did not hastily make a decision or write a letter of advice. Instead, he sent Muhammad bin Maslama to Kufa with a letter for Sa'ad. He also ordered him to accompany Sa'ad and to ask the people about his dealings. Muhammad bin Maslama arrived in Kufa and informed Sa'ad of the news. He then began to pray in the various masjids with Sa'ad and started to speak to the people and ask about his dealings. He did not leave the masjid except that he asked about Sa'ad, and the people never mentioned him with anything but good. This was the case until they entered one of the masjids of Banu Abs, where Muhammad bin Maslama stood up and asked the people about their leader Sa'ad. They all spoke in praise of him. Muhammad then said, I ask you in the name of Allah, do you know anything else about him? They said, no, we do not know anything but good. When Muhammad repeated the question, there arose a man at the end of the masjid. His name was Usama bin Qatada. He said, if you ask us in the name of Allah, then listen to what I have to say. Sa'ad neither treats us fairly, nor is he just in disputations. Sa'ad became surprised and asked, am I like this? The man said, yes. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu then said, by Allah, I pray to Allah for three things. O Allah, if this servant of yours is a liar, and he has only stood up to show off, then prolong his life, extend his poverty, and give him tribulations in life. Then Sa'ad radiallahu anhu left the masjid and headed towards the city, and after several years he passed away. But, as for the man, the prayer of Sa'ad radiallahu anhu never left him. He became aged, his bones became weak, and his back became crooked. His life became so long that he was tired of it. His poverty became so severe that he would sit on the streets, begging people for money. His eyebrows hung over his eyes due to old age. Whenever women passed by him, he would stretch out his hands to harass them. As a result, people would scream at him and insult him, to which he would respond by saying, what else can I do? I am a trial-stricken old man who has been afflicted with the prayer of a righteous man, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas. So thus, my dear listeners, we learn that we should always verify what we do or what we hear someone says before making false assumptions, etc. We go for a quick break, and when we return, Mahdiya will be with me in studio, and I'd like to ask her a couple of questions about being a fifth year med student. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the program. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to the Tihiyah on Air program with myself, Tihiyah Wadiwala. Today, alhamdulillah, I have a guest with me in studio. Her name is Mahdiya Hussein, and she's a fifth year med student at Fitz University. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, Tihiyah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, and yourself?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. So now you are a fifth year med student. Tell me, what's that like?
So it's been a big adjustment coming from fourth year. The third and fourth years of medicine work in the same way. So most days used to be lectures. And then we'd only visit the hospital once every 2 weeks. But now in fifth year, I've started full-time clinical rotations. So that means I'm at the hospital every day except for Wednesdays. And I'm even expected to be at the hospital some weekends. If I'm on call. So I get to engage with patients constantly now. I take histories and physical exams. Other than that, it's been exciting, amazing, and challenging. The end of med school is finally in sight, alhamdulillah. And I'm beginning to see how my medical education has come full circle. And I'm in the last critical stage where, inshallah, I'm learning to be a doctor. Finally. So I prefer practical work. So it's also been nice reaching this stage of med school.
That's so beautiful, SubhanAllah. Where and how do you work your best?
Okay, so it's honestly been such a big challenge finding out how, and I'm still learning about how I can be the most effective and efficient at work and studying. I like to work alone with a lot of peace and quiet, so I even use earplugs to block out all my sound. But if I'm in the practical hospital setting and seeing patients, then I like having my clinical partners with me. We help each other, and if we get stuck or forget to do something, it's a nice way to learn and bond with him. And working at my best also means I have to constantly strive for balance in my life, like exercising and keeping my space as neat as I can. This is actually quite a challenge because it's easy to get caught up in a black hole of just studying all the time.
Of course. What gives you the most satisfaction?
So I like having little victories. It really motivates me to keep going. For example, having a really good interaction with a patient where I feel like we bonded or connected. Also, as a medical student, we actually have more of our time to give to patients, and like to listen to them more than the doctors who are constantly busy. So it's scary being sick in hospital for patients and feeling like everyone is talking about you but not to you. So it's satisfying to me knowing that we were able to make a patient feel a little less lonely and a little more empowered about why they're in hospital. It's also very satisfying when you spend weeks preparing for an exam. It's a really intense build-up and then it's over and you pass. The feeling after exams is the best feeling ever.
Of course. What would you have done differently if you knew then what you know now?
So I think this is really aimed at grade 10 me, and it's very relevant to kids in high school currently. So you need to empower yourself with actual facts and knowledge about what you really want to do with your life and what you want to study. So everyone says, I want to be a doctor, but that's just because it sounds nice and fancy and your family will be proud of you. You need to sit down and figure out what you love and what you're good at. And then you need to empower yourself with the pros and cons and the lifestyle that comes with the job and ask yourself if you're a suitable match for that job. You absolutely need to do some job shadowing and speak to people in the field. And then only then should you apply for certain courses at college or university.
Of course, research is so important.
Yes. And honestly, if I had known this back in high school, I really don't know if I would have ended up in medicine. But I'm very grateful, though, and I feel privileged that I ended up here. I think Allah knew what was right for me at the right time. But yeah, empowering yourself with knowledge in your youth and for the rest of your life is incredibly important.
Of course. What's the best advice you've ever received?
This is actually from a famous quote by Marianne Williamson. So my mom printed it out and gave it to me when I was 10 years old, so I can read it out.
Sure.
So it's, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be, brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God, and your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And as we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Yes. What are your biggest influences and who do you admire the most or who inspires you to do what you are doing currently?
So I can't say I know anyone, I have any one inspiration. But I'm in awe of strong, talented women who are amazing at what they do and are passionate about making a contribution to this world for the better, all while balancing responsibilities of being a sister, daughter, a wife, or a mother. I love the example of Khadija Radiallahu anha and how she was an amazing businesswoman, the boss of and then the first love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Aisha Radiallahu anha and how one of the most intelligent women and the narrator of an impossible number of hadith. We have such incredible examples of women in Islam.
Yes, of course. What is still your biggest challenge currently?
So finding the balance in my life between med school and everything else. I want to be more healthy. I want to be more healthy and exercise regularly, but I think my body is still adjusting to always being at the hospital. It can be very draining. I find myself always tired. It's hard to study when I come home from a long day, and let alone do anything else. So I'm also a huge procrastinator, and it's a terrible trait. I think that if I can kick that habit, I will find much more time in my life which I can dedicate to things other than med school, like my family and friends.
Of course. What surprising lessons have you learned thus far?
That's a difficult question. I think it's just how much we are capable of, even if we think we aren't. Sometimes you are thrown into the deep end and then you're forced to cope. I don't think there can be growth without a struggle, and it's the things that terrify and challenge you that you actually should be facing head on.
Yes. How do you balance work and family demands?
So this is one of the biggest challenges in my life right now. I have an absolutely amazing family and I love them to bits. It's just really difficult given my schedule and constant exams to make enough time for them. So I usually try to see my family as much as possible when it's not exam time to make up for my absence when it is. On top of that, I got married 2 years ago before starting third year, which was a huge adjustment to my life on top of the demands of studying. I'm extremely lucky though. All my family, from my mom, my aunts, my in-laws and husband, are very supportive of me. I wouldn't be able to do all that I do without their constant help. They cook for us and they just make life so much easier in every way possible so that I can focus on my studies.
Of course, family is the most important. Thank you so much for joining me in studio today. I really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having me and giving me this opportunity.
Where can the listeners find you or follow you?
Yeah, well, they can follow me on Instagram. I actually have resources for people who want to get into the GEMP program. So that's if you study any other degree and then you can get into medicine from third year. So I did that. So I studied a Bachelor of Science, and then I got into third year medicine. So before that, you have to write a big exam. Okay. So if anyone wants to find me, they can just go and find my Instagram, or they can WhatsApp me also on 072-800-2051. Then I have a big folder and Dropbox with resources, notes that I made.
Okay, that's perfect. The number will be available on my Insta stories as well for those who are listening. Jazakallah for coming. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to the program. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to the Tahiya On Air program with myself, Tahiya Wadiwala, on Radio Islam International. Before the break, I had Sister Mahdia Hussein with me in studio, and she spoke about being a fifth year med student. Now, to conclude and towards the end of the program, I'd like to read you something on the lighter side, and this can be available. This is actually posted on my blog, which is tahiyawadiwala.wordpress.com. By the time we are 10, our collection of personal portraits would put shame to any king or queen from 17th century Europe, who at most had maybe four portraits and three sculptures in their palaces. The same monarch would squirm with envy to learn that we have a gazillion followers on some place called the internet. I'd like to introduce you to a group of people, also known as the me generation, or the lazy bones or the fidgety fingers on the phones generation, which, mind you, is only for texting and surfing the internet. We'd never return calls. We are so nervous about being left behind that we constantly need to know what's trending, especially if our names are tagged in a conversation. Millennials, the generation I have chosen to talk about, came along and changed it all. Born between 1980 and 2002, we are truly a global phenomenon. Members of this generation, be they in China, the US, Nigeria, or South Africa, tend to have the same worldview as our peers in other parts of the world. Technology is the factor unifying us all, but it's also the thing that sets us apart from previous generations. We obtain our values from the lessons that we see all over the internet, such as Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and all other platforms that have suddenly mushroomed. Our home language may be Zulu, Mandarin, Gujarati, or Arabic, but the language common to all of us is me. We are the people who tweet wherever we go and snap a picture of our lunch for our Instagram stories. Because yes, validation is important. Born in the shadow of reality shows such as and TV, we literally have become the stars of our own reality shows. We derive satisfaction from being celebrities, even though we are only celebrated by ourselves, our ego, and our circle of friends, which is so wrong. But mind you, the reality in which we interact with our friends and families is a false one. Now, there's another concept called reading, which is most definitely unfamiliar to many of us. We certainly seem to have figured out the letters of the alphabet, as proven in our frequent use of OMG or BTW. But if you'd really like to drive us berserk, give us a computer without internet access and ask us to write a properly referenced 2,000-word essay. I promise you, I don't think there's anyone who'd be able to do such. With such wealth of information at our fingertips, many of us feel that having to do research is completely unnecessary. In an extract written in the Time magazine, it says, "The information revolution has further empowered individuals by handing us the technology to compete against huge organizations, hackers versus corporations or bloggers versus newspapers." Let me tell you what I've just done. I quoted something that I read and attributed it accordingly. The technology generation has neither the patience nor the humility to acknowledge such sources. But now, this is not to say that I do not take advantage of the tools that have made my generation who we are. We tweet, we podcast, we blog, and we utilize all other things in between. Because we are at such a place in the world that walking somewhere is more looked down upon than asking a random stranger for a lift. Yeah, so it's something I wrote on the lighter side, and I thoroughly enjoy writing it as well. With that, we have come to the end of the program. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I love to listen to your comments, your feedbacks, and suggestions, so remember to tweet them to me. My Twitter handle is @TahiraW. Find out more information about Mahtia, all information will be up on my Instagram stories, which is @TW_, and on the Radio Islam Instagram page as well, inshallah. With that, I ask you to remember me in your du'as as always. Until next time, ma'assalam.